Welcome to Words, Words, Words. This is your host, Robert Tinajero. On today's episode, I'll be talking about over-the-phone scammers and how they use rhetoric and something that's called social engineering to try to scam us and take our money. So an article that I'm looking at is from, this is from CNN Business, and it's a long title. It's called "A Scam Targeting Americans Over the Phone Has Resulted in Millions of Dollars Lost to Hackers. Don't Be the Next Victim." And so in the article, it gives a statistic that just within the last year, 26,379 people reported being a victim of some sort of phishing scam. Phishing is just another term for this over-the-phone scamming, or it can be in through email or text or other means. But in today's episode, I'm talking specifically about over-the-phone schemes. And so all of us receive tons of these phone calls. I know I get probably 2 to 5 on a daily basis. They're numbers that I don't recognize. And phones are doing a better job now of blocking those calls, or there's apps that block those calls, or your phone might tell you this is a possible scammer. But it is, that is a huge number, right? Over 26,000 people, according to the FBI's 2018 Internet Crime Report, saying that there were victims. And so victims means that obviously money was taken from them, or something happened with their identity. And so this doesn't take into account, you know, all the other people that were almost victims or were targeted by these scammers. And so with those over 26,000 people that reported being victims of a scamming scheme over the past year, they reported nearly $50 million in losses. And so that number seems to just be going up and up. That $50 million represents a $20 million jump from the previous year. And so the article talks about a specific person, Peter Gunst, who fell for this scheme. And sometimes young people or younger people think that, oh, I would never fall for this, or it's only older people that would fall for this. But that's certainly not the case. And so the example used in this article of Peter Gunst, he's a 34-year-old guy, and he talks about how he got scammed. And so it's pretty interesting because these scammers are getting more and more complex, and they're thinking right about rhetoric, right? What do I say? How do I say it? How do I present this information to the person I'm trying to scam so I can get their account information and then, of course, try to take money from their account or use their credit card account or gain access to their banking account. And so this person talked about how he got a call from a number and he ignored it because he didn't recognize it. But then the same number popped up again on his phone just a couple minutes later. Some people have the luxury of just being able to ignore all these phone calls or having a really good app or something that blocks them. But a lot of people, right, their business depends on them answering calls from numbers that they don't always recognize. And so since a person called them back, they answered the phone. And the woman on the other end of the phone claimed that she worked with a bank, for the bank that he banked with. And so the scammer said, well, he didn't know it was a scammer at the time, but they said that there was an attempted transaction using his card in another city. And so at that point, he thought this is a legitimate call because I've gotten calls like this, he said, before from his bank, just like many of us have at times get calls from our bank saying somebody tried using your card here or there. I've certainly got those calls. So he didn't think it was weird at that point. And so the person asked him for his member number. And so he thought that that was fine because the member number doesn't give you access to the account. So he gave the member number and the person said, we're sending you a code via text. And so a code was sent to his phone, and we've all had to do this, right? We are trying to gain access to something, and we give them the phone number, and it sends us a code via text, and then we put that code in so we can verify. So he thought nothing was fishy there. So he got a text, and then the person said, "Can you read me back the number that you got?" And so he did. And so this was the first kind of rhetorical trick that the person was using. He had gotten that text, but what he didn't realize is that person was already on the bank site, and I guess already through the member number, or they already had access to his email, what his email was. And so they put that in, and they did a reset password. And so that prompted a text to go to his phone. And so what he thought was a legitimate kind of PIN being sent to his phone was actually a password reset code. And so when the person asked for that code and he gave it to them, they now could access his account. And so once they access the account, right, just because you're in the account, there's only so much that you can do when you're logged in online to your account. And so that was just the first step in this rhetorical scamming trick. And so once they were in the person's online profile, in the account, they started reading back recent transactions. And so they told them, "Oh, you spent this amount at this store and this amount at this store." So at this point, that makes them seem very credible, right? Because they're the bank. You don't know that it was a password reset code. You just thought it was a general PIN to kind of prove that they were with the bank. And so they're reading back these transactions. And so he thought, okay, this is legitimate. They're in my account, or they know about my account, so it has to be the bank. And so the person then asked, "We now want to block the PIN on your account," right? So they worded it in a way that sounds like they're protecting you. And they're saying, "We need to block your PIN. We need to protect your PIN." And so they say, "Can you please give us your PIN number so we can make sure we're protecting the correct PIN?" And this is where a lot of people, it will raise a red flag for them, like it did for this individual. And so he thought that was fishy and hung up. But you can see how a lot of people might fall for that. You think that it's been verified that you're talking to the bank because they're reading back recent transactions. You think that a legitimate code was sent from the bank, and it actually was a legitimate code, but it was a password reset code, not a like a PIN to get into your account. And so when they asked for the PIN, a lot of people at that point might have already been convinced it's a bank and give them the PIN. So once they have that PIN, then they could do a lot more damage. And so luckily, this individual was spared from having his account totally hacked, even though that person can still, you know, at that point, log in to their online profile. And so all of these rhetorical tricks, as I mentioned before, are something that's called social engineering, which basically means they're trying to trick you, right, rhetorically, to have you compromise your account. And so this actually happened to me last year, and it was kind of a similar situation to what I just read in the article. And so this scammer from the beginning kind of had me hooked, because I have a Chase credit card, and I have the Chase credit card phone number saved into my phone. And so when I call them, it's a contact. It says Chase credit card. And so my phone rang and it said Chase credit card. And so it was a call coming from them, I thought. I guess I didn't think about how, you know, the scamming has gotten very complex. And so I guess clearly they have the technology to make it seem like they're calling from the Chase credit card number. And so from the beginning, they had me hooked, right? We talk about in rhetorical studies, ethos, right? They already had the ethos of, as soon as I pick up that phone, I already think that it's a credit card company. So I answer the call, and I believe it's them. It sounds right. They're using like bank credit card talk, and they're talking about how they have a promotion where they can lower the APR for a while if I transfer money, which all is legit, right? Because A lot of times you can roll money into a credit card and get a lower APR rate for a certain amount of time. And so I'm talking to them about that. And clearly they had already done some scamming before, because they read back transactions to me that were recent transactions. And so they had already hacked something in order to have that. So the fact that they called, or the phone number, the call came from the actual Chase credit card number, and the fact that they were reading me back recent transactions, I thought for sure it was them. And so they also knew, because they could log into my account, they knew the last, they knew my whole account number. And they also knew the last, I believe, four numbers of my Social Security account, my Social Security number. And so this is where I shouldn't have fallen for this. But like I said, because it was, the phone call came from the Chase number, they were reading back transactions, they knew my whole account number, I just figured it was them. And so they also knew those last four digits of my Social Security. So the guy, at some point we were talking about, you know, possibly transferring money, the lower APR. So I was thinking about that. He gives me the last four numbers of my Social Security number. And he said, can you read me back the rest of your Social Security number? And for a second, I thought, wait, why are they asking for this? But it just kind of quickly came out of my mouth, because I thought I was legitimately talking to them. And as soon as I did that, he said, can you hold on for a minute or two? And then that's, as I'm on hold, I'm thinking, wait, why did they ask for my whole Social Security number? And so at this point, this must have been the point while I was on hold, when they were trying to kind of verify this information and get into my account and probably try to start buying things using my credit card or open account somewhere. Luckily, I got extremely lucky, is I had made some purchase with my credit card. I forgot I had to like put like a lot of money down for something. Maybe it was a deposit. It was like $500. And I think I have kind of an alert or a safety net on my credit card, where if I spend a certain amount in a day, it'll freeze the account and then verify that. So luckily, within that past week, I had put that deposit down. And so my credit card was temporarily frozen. And so when these scammers try to go do whatever they're trying to do, once they were into my account with my credit, I mean, with my Social Security number, they weren't able to do it. And so the guy came back and he even asked, are you sure that's your number? Because I didn't realize at the time they were trying to do something and they couldn't access the account. So he must have thought I was giving the wrong information. So at that point, I believe I said, yes, that's correct. I was like, I'm going to have to let you go, because I thought it was starting to sound fishy. And so I got real lucky that I wasn't, you know, hacked and money wasn't taken. This was my credit card, so luckily my credit card wasn't used. So that's my experience. I'm sure a lot of you listeners have had similar experiences. Maybe not trying to get scammed by your credit card or by your bank, but in some ways getting a person that's calling and that's using, right, this rhetoric, this social engineering to try to get you to buy something, whether it's legitimate or it's a scam. And so the biggest tip I took from this article is that if you think anything is fishy, just tell them, you know, can I have your name or member number, and I'm going to hang up and I'll call you right back. And so that way, you know, you're calling the legitimate, you know, bank or credit card number and going through that system to get that person, or you can call back and say, I just received a call. Was it actually from you all? And so that's the best tip. And then the other tip is just the usual, you know, they shouldn't be asking for your full Social Security number. They shouldn't be asking you for a PIN. When you get a text from your bank or credit card, it should let you know what that text is about, whether it's a password reset code or a PIN. And so the best thing is to just call them back and ask them, or talk to them about whatever you want to talk to them about. The last thing I want to mention, there's a lot of apps out there that help with, scam calls. One that I heard about that I downloaded, but I haven't quite used yet, but I read a little bit about it, and I just think it's funny, kind of rhetorically, So the app is called RoboKiller, and so you can send calls that you think are these like spam calls or phishing calls or telemarketer calls. You can, when they call, you can send it to the app, and the app, it doesn't necessarily block it, but what it does is kind of funny. It pretends to be an actual person that answers the call, and then it kind of messes around with that, with a caller, with a telemarketer or a scammer. So they might call and say, you know, hello, is this Mr. whatever, and the app will recognize that something was asked, and it'll say, oh, hi, how's your day going? And then they'll, so it, the app will actually get into like this fake conversation with a scammer. And obviously at some point that conversation is going to break down because the app doesn't recognize, you know, the specific questions, but it'll mess with them long enough to like annoy them. And I just think that's funny because they obviously are annoying us by calling our cell phones. So once again, that app is called RoboKiller. You can check it out and Google it and kind of read about it on your own. But I just thought it was funny. So as always, I always encourage my listeners to think about how this episode is connected to your own lives, to things that happen to you or friends or family, and to talk to people that you know about these like rhetorical tactics that these scammers use to try to get us to, you know, relinquish our account numbers so they can access our accounts and money. So that's today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. As always, please share the episode, rate and review. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Words, Words, Words. Please send me any ideas you have for an episode, and have a great day.